everybody. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to check out our other great shows and content on Patriots.com. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome back to Do Your Part. I am your host, Angelique Fisk, and I am the lifestyle editor of Patriots.com. Today we have a great episode for you. Brandon Copeland joins me for an excellent conversation. And while Brandon Copeland might be new to New England, his impact has already been felt in many ways. So Brandon graduated from the University of Pennsylvania and has since gone back and is a professor at the University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League school, teaching a financial literacy course called Life 101. In 2019, Brandon was awarded the NFLPA Alan Page Community Award winner. And this is a huge deal in the league. It goes to a player who goes above and beyond to perform community service for his hometown and for his home team city. On top of that, Brandon runs two real estate companies, offers financial literacy advice to those who need it in his spare time, and he and his wife run the Beyond the Basics Foundation, which aims to empower kids through experiences. And honestly, this work has not gone unnoticed. There's a huge announcement earlier this week that Brandon Copeland made the Forbes 30 Under 30 sports list, which is just incredible. So we will get into all of that in our conversation. So here is Brandon Copeland. Brandon, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain. So, you know, there was some big news in your world and the Patriots world that came through recently. You were an honoree on the 2021 Forbes 30 Under 30 sports list, which, first of all, congratulations. That is just absolutely incredible.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So what was your reaction when you found out that you made the cut?
It's funny. I think like a lot of different things in my life, when I found out I was preoccupied with doing something else or doing the next thing. So it was very, very exciting, very humbling. I think I was actually in the middle of a haircut because I had a speaking engagement maybe an hour afterwards. So it was pretty cool, pretty exciting. And then it was kind of like, let's move on and get prepared for the speaking engagement. But got the chance to thank my wife and thank my brother, who's been monumental in helping me make those things happen, and also, you know, thank a lot of people who've meant a lot of special things to me in my life, because clearly with something like that, it's not nothing that I've done specifically. I'm only enabled to do many different things well because of the people around me and the interactions I've had. So, you know, people are seeing the finished product, but they're not seeing the young boy from Baltimore who was, you know, rough around the edges.
What does an honor like that mean to you and to your circle? Because obviously, like you said, you know, you didn't come out of the womb like this. Like it took a long way to get to where you are right now. And you never stop. Like you are constantly doing things. I mean, you've only been here, you know, less than a year, and we have already had several conversations about what you're doing off the field. So what does something like this mean to you to be recognized in this way?
Yeah, I think it's very, very humbling, and it's very, very cool because you look at the list and it's something that I think you grow up and you see something like that. And it's like, wow, that'd be pretty cool to be a part of. I think for me, I'm also, I guess, realistic enough to understand that it's not everything. Right. So it's very, very humbling. Don't want to disrespect it. But now it's like I actually one of the lessons I learned in Patriot land, you know, I remember one of my first conversations with Julian Edelman, I actually was hearing him and Stephon Gilmore have a conversation and they were joking back and forth, and somebody, you know, Stephon said, "Hey man, you were the Super Bowl MVP. Like, what does that feel like?" And he said, "Hey, no one cares now." Right. So for me, it's about waking up today and going out and attacking the day. It definitely feels good. It's a proud feeling, but it's ultimately who cares, right? Let's go make something happen today.
Something that you say a lot that I really love, and that is kind of like the thesis of this whole podcast, is athlete and. Like, you're an athlete and. I guess first, where did that start?
So shout out to Dior with the our Players Association with the NFLPA. He came up with this mantra. You know, it stems from just, like you said, there's so many people. You get it. Right. There's so many people who look at us and what we do on Sundays and they think that's it. You know, however, you know, these are just football for a lot of us are means to an end. it's an opportunity to have a platform to affect change in our communities and in our households, right? It's an opportunity to change the wealth in our that our last names have had for a long period of time. So yeah, that's where it started. That's where it began. And a lot of people are embodying that athlete and that more than an athlete mantra, because, you know, it's just the modern day athlete. You see some of the greatest of all times. You see guys like LeBron James, and you can't just pin him down to one of the greatest basketball players of all time. You also have to put him in, you know, he's a producer. He's, you know, he's an actor. He's a philanthropist. I mean, the man started a school. He's a social justice activist, right? He helped people get out there and vote this year. So, you know, if he can do it and still be win an NBA championship, then it gives us all encouragement that, hey, we can do it as well and still be great. Because I think for a long period of time, my grandfather played in the NFL for 11 years, a long period of time, you know, people told you that you have to focus on one thing, right? You can only be good at one thing at a time. You have to focus on one thing at a time. And I don't think that that's the case any longer. I think people, men and women, all athletes are understanding that, you know, I have other passions outside of the sport. It's okay for me to execute on them.
You know, your grandfather played in a different era, like where, you know, maybe the things that you're doing, he might not have been able to do in his spare time because he was kind of put in a box. So what did you learn from him in his career and, you know, how you wanted to shape your career and what you did with your platform as an NFL player moving forward?
Yeah, I think I took a number of life lessons from my grandfather that have carried with me through this day. That award you were talking about yesterday, that's one of those things where it's like, those are the things, the moments that make me know, like, okay, I'm on the right path. Like, I know he would be extremely happy. He'd probably be more excited for me than I am in the moment. From a football standpoint, I think some of the biggest things he always preached to me or made sure I was aware of was to take different opportunities that come to you. And even if you're not ready for it, even if you don't know how to actually execute or pull them off, say yes. And I remember walking with him through the University of Pennsylvania's campus one day. I can't remember what year I was, maybe a junior, but he would just always say, you know, man, I remember when I was in league, somebody asked me to broadcast and I told him no. And I can't tell you why I told him no, but I always look back and I'm thinking, like, I'm looking at some people and I'm like, I did not say yes. Like, that would be pretty cool to do. You know, he was like, I was young and dumb. I was probably, you know, having a good time or had other things on my mind, but say yes, like, go out there and why not? So, you know, I think that's why you see when people ask the different things that I do, why I'm doing so many different things, you know, sometimes to a detriment potentially, right? I think that I, you know, I really took that lesson from him to heart. I also think that, you know, I understand that the life after football is totally different for some of us, right? Some of us are able to come in here and create enough star power or wow factor that it carries with them for the rest of their lives. Most of us aren't. So for me, I understand that right now I have a tremendous amount of power in my platform. And although I hope to still have influence when I'm a former player, I don't know what that life in that world is actually like. Mm-hmm. I don't know if children will perk up when I walk into a classroom as a former NFL player compared to the current linebacker for the New England Patriots, you know? And so that unknown alone is what drives me to maximize this moment. I think a lot of people rely on, oh, it'll be okay, I'll make it happen then. And there's been a few different things that I've encountered in my life that have told me, hey, like, you can't wait until tomorrow to do this because it just isn't the same.
Mm-hmm. And I think something too that I've realized since I've started, you know, working like in talking to NFL players, is how structured the day-to-day is when you're in season and when you are, you know, in your career. And that drop off if you retire and you don't have that structure, I mean, that's hard for any human being to adjust to. I mean, you see it with, you know, high school kids that go into college where you kind of have more freedom. So I think there's a lot of pressure there to kind of figure things out, and you're further along in your life. And sometimes I imagine you would feel lost.
People have spoke about athletes having two deaths, right? You have that death when you end your career, your sport for the first time. And then you have your real actual death that we all experience. I believe that I am working hard to understand and feel like I have different opportunities to provide for myself and my family post-football. However, I still know that there's no hiding or running from that death. You know, I've had the game taken away from me multiple times. Right now I'm with a torn pec. So every time I turn the TV on Sundays or Monday night or Thursday night, it hurts me. So there's no avoiding that. And I think that that's sometimes what deters certain athletes from trying to step outside of their comfort zone. I can't get rid of that death. However, I can still make sure that I'm confident when I'm done football, to, again, provide for my family and I, right? Or to be able to do something that I'm passionate about. A lot of us, when you're in college and you're playing football, most colleges, you don't have the time to take an internship. Mm-hmm. Fortunately or unfortunately, you know, I did. I go into a school where football wasn't necessarily the emphasis. I had the opportunity. Part of figuring out what you want to do in life is figuring out what you don't want to do. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm maximizing this time as well. And I encourage other players and other people to do so, because when you are taking on a bunch of these things, I've been able to figure out, I like this, but I don't like it this way. Mm-hmm. So let me do it like this. Or I don't like this at all. Right.
Fill in the blank for me. You know, Brandon Copeland is an athlete and blank.
Ooh, that's a good question. Athlete and, I mean, it would be multiple, right? Mm-hmm. I think for me, athlete and husband, athlete and father, athlete and entrepreneur, athlete and philanthropist, athlete and professor, athlete and investor, athlete and, you know, leader. Mm-hmm. It would literally be multiple things. And I think that's what I'm proud of is, you know, you can't really describe me in one thing, because I'm in one word, because again, I'm just a guy. I'm just executing on anything I'm interested in, which is pretty fun for me.
And that's kind of like the ultimate goal. I mean, you can't be boiled down to a single word, because how boring would that be if you could just be a one-dimensional word and that's it?
Sure. Yeah, no, 100%. And it's not for everybody. You know, I do admit that. You know, sometimes I think about, what if I did focus on one thing and one thing only, and how great could I be at that? Mm-hmm. And I also think I'd be bored. You know, my mind just doesn't work that way, right? Like I'm the guy that wakes up in the middle of the night thinking of a business idea or thinking of a way to make something that is going on in my business, make it work, or why it won't work, right? Like I can't turn my brain off. I think I spent during my NFL career, when I came back into the league, my first couple of years, I tried to turn the faucet on and just be doing a lot of things. I got back into the league and then it was like, let's fine tune, let's narrow the focus. And then by doing that, it got my foot back in the door and I've executed well ever since. But I realized like it is harder for me to turn the faucet off, right? Like I get more anxious doing that, trying to tell my brain not to think and to sit still and, you know, then just enjoying it, just answering the emails and finding houses to flip and creating lecture slides. Like it sounds weird, but I just enjoy it.
And you know, you talked about lecture slides there, and that transitions nicely to, you know, I wanted to ask you about, you know, you teach a course called Life 101. It's a financial literacy course. And I kind of wanted to ask you what the aha moment was for you when you realized that a course like this was necessary, because it covers a lot of things that people just don't know and that you are going to have to know. So what kind of clicked and fell into place when you were putting this class together?
Yeah, one, first and foremost, shout out to UPenn, and let's say a prayer for Brown and Harvard, since we used to whoop up on them when I was in college. So for me, I remember when we bought this house that I'm in right now, I remember my wife calling me, who was my fiance, my girlfriend at the time. I remember her calling me. I was in season in Detroit. I flew back on the bye week. We checked out the house. We loved it. Okay, cool. Let's buy it. And then I remember her calling me to close, and we had the FaceTime, and she said, hey, is everything look right in this contract? And she had sent me the 40-page doc. You know, the realtors had sent me all those things. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, this is my first time seeing this. Like, I hope it's right. You know, ultimately, I hope the realtor would tell us if something was wrong. But I don't know if we're paying a little too much for this here or this insurance or this deed. I don't know if any of this language makes sense. And ultimately, the realtor is incentivized to get this sale done so that they get their check. So for me, I'm like, this is a major life purchase. And I went to some of the best schools in the nation, from high school to college. And I have no idea if this is right, if what I'm doing is correct or not. And that's wrong. That's backwards, right? Like, you taught me the tangent of a 45 degree angle, but you didn't teach me about my credit. You didn't teach me how to budget. You didn't really teach me how to invest long term and invest in myself. So though that for me was just like, something has to be done about it. I had the idea for the class, and you know, we were able to go through, get syllabus, get all those types of things done, the logistical stuff done. And, you know, it was at a point where someone else could teach the material, or I could go and do it myself. And I thought it was really important that I did it. Not because I wanted to become a teacher or educator at all, but because the delivery is everything, right? Making some of these topics conversational is the most important thing to change the human psyche around it, and opening up and pulling back those layers so that now my students are comfortable talking about money, comfortable talking about not just investments, but insurance and their student loans, because they understand that if you're comfortable having these conversations with people, then that will help you figure out what has worked for them, what hasn't worked for them. When you are able to have these conversations, then you're able to learn and grow. Mm-hmm. I've always given the example that I'm, you know, in a neighborhood right now. Let's say that there's 200 families in this neighborhood. Let's just throw out a number. 100 of us are probably making the same financial mistake right now. And it's a simple one, easy to correct, easy to fix, but because none of us are willing to talk about it, we're all going to continuously make that same mistake. My class is trying to prevent that.
And I think, you know, something you touched on there's so much shame involved with money, whether, you know, it's not knowing or being ashamed at how much is in your bank account or how much isn't in your bank account. And it can cause people to kind of shut down. I mean, like, there have been times where I'm like looking through one eye, looking at my checking account, being like, Ken, what's the situation? What am I walking into here? And I think something I appreciate about this, that you, what you do, is that you don't harbor this information. You aren't like using it strictly for your students. You sprinkle it everywhere. You are talking about it all the time. You are talking to nonprofits. You're doing hits on Good Morning America. So why is it important for you to kind of be like, yell it from the rooftops? Like, these are the things that you need to be doing.
Yeah, it's for me, it's trying to help change the wealth gap. It's just trying to give everyone an even playing field and access to information. I think that none of this stuff is rocket science. You know, and unfortunately, it's just, you know, I'd rather my mother, who was a single mom working hard for two husky boys, you know, we're eating her out of house and home. I'd rather you have told her how to better invest her 401k, right? So now she's in a better place for retirement. So that's my goal. My goal is to get this information to everyone, to my mother, a young, she's very young and beautiful, mom. If you're listening, you're young and beautiful, but a younger version of herself, mm-hmm. right? An older version of herself. It doesn't matter. My goal is to give people the information so that they can do with it whatever they would like. With that being said, we're actually going to be, this is actually first, we're going to be offering the class to everyone this off season. It'll definitely be a subscription-based model. We're coming up with the e-course and everything like that, but we're going to offer it to everyone. We will have some things that are free content for anyone, just so that they can have information as well. But if you want that next level step of learning, then you know, we're going to, Professor Cope is going to be there for you. So I'm excited about that as well.
That's awesome. You know, you've been in New England for like a hot second and you dove straight into the community. You, when, you know, COVID was, you know, first hit, you were buying groceries for families in need and healthcare workers in New England and in Baltimore. So, and I thought that was really cool. And then before you even got here, you leverage your NFL network. It's like you have LinkedIn for the NFL. You're calling up old teammates and you host an event every year called December to Remember. And you basically have your former teammates host shopping events in their own cities, their own NFL cities. And there was an event down the street from Foxborough that Jason McCourty, who was your teammate in Tennessee, and Kyle Van Noy, who was a teammate with the Lions, hosted. So you were already making an impact before you even showed up here. So I wanted to ask you why Beyond the Basics was something so important for you, and then wanted to give you a chance to tell us about the upcoming December to Remember.
Awesome. Thank you. So Beyond the Basics is Taylor and I's our nonprofit organization. Is our baby, so to speak, our first child. We really understood that, again, we're nothing special, right? We work very hard, we're ambitious, but we've just been fortunate enough to have people in our lives who've kind of directed us to show us, hey, you can put your hard work to use and do that, or you can put your hard work to use and work here, or those things. A lot of children have that same ambition, same work ethic. However, no one to tell them, hey, do this. No one who can be their grandfather to say, hey, take on these opportunities, try it, right? So we want to do that for youth. And so for us, that is where Beyond the Basics began. We do and execute different events throughout the year, and one of which being that December to Remember shopping spree. And for us, I think another huge thing we try to emphasize is collaboration. And through collaboration, we can do more. Because a lot of people we're helping, we come from communities that, you know, we don't trust a lot. And so for us, it's trying to break down some of those barriers so that people realize, okay, hey, if I reach outside of my comfort zone, maybe I can do more and help people together. We're using ourselves as examples. So yes, like you said, we were able to affect New England last year, which was awesome, but only, you know, as a result of Kyle and D-Mac and J-Mac and, you know, the guys who made it happen, which is, you know, we appreciate them. And then this year, we actually are leveling up a bit. So this year, as a result, we are going to be able to do, as a result of the success of last year, people understanding what we're all about, we're going to be able to do $160,000 in total support across the nation. That wow. looks like 32 in the New England area. And we're excited. And that's going to be Dietrich Wise, Jason McCourty, Devin McCourty, and myself pitching in to help make that happen. This year, we're taking on a different model. Of course, we're virtual. Everything's going to be virtual. We've had Amazon support us as well. We're going to do Amazon gift cards. And we're extremely excited about it, but we're going to adopt families this year. So we're extremely excited to continue to have a impact in the community. But again, I think the emphasis is, you know, by us doing it together, now we're able to, like you said, J-Mac and D-Mac and Dietrich are also having an impact in San Francisco this year, in Tampa Bay, in Tennessee, in Pittsburgh, you know. And that's, I think, the coolest thing in the world for us as players, is to be able to help people we've never even met before.
That's incredible. And that's, I mean, that's a huge reach. You're spanning like coast to coast. That's just incredible. When people talk about Brandon Copeland, you know, years and years on, what do you hope your legacy is?
I hope to be an example of how to give everything to everything I do, right? So first and foremost, hope that, you know, my wife and my son now, but hopefully children are just like, you know, extremely proud that I was their father and husband. But beyond that, I hope that everyone I interact with, even if it is for a small moment, understand how genuine I am and how something I'm doing, they're able to take some type of inspiration from it. You know, I think it's not that the goal is to be an inspiration or to be a leader or to be an example, but, you know, I do realize that because I'm doing so much, a lot of the times I'm not able to sit and reflect on the moments of things. And so I hope that when it's all said and done, people are just like, oh, wow, like I see why. And I think that, you know, awards like the 30 Under 30, that recognition, the Alan Page Award last year, those awards help me feel comfortable in the fact that I am doing it my way and the right way, because people I don't even know reach out and are congratulating me, you know, and that is the thing that makes me feel proud of, like, what I'm doing is more meaningful than just me. It's not just to help myself.
And I think that's, you know, doing something beyond yourself. It's like, I mean, that's, what more could you want? And what more could you want to spread? Well, Brandon, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you have a very busy schedule, so I appreciate you making time for this conversation.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, of course. Take care. Have a good week. Hey, it's Angelique of Patriots.com. Like what you heard? Then hit the subscribe button and leave us a comment or a review. Be sure to check out Patriots.com for other great shows and content. See you later.